I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. This is part one of Hostile Designs and Inclusive Public Spaces in Toronto. The issues of inclusiveness and accessibility to public spaces continue as Toronto deals with its affordable housing crisis and struggles to help its homeless population. Today, Michael McLennan talks about the role that designers must play for the city to become more inclusive and the necessary efforts from policymakers and organizations to make it happen. He's an architect and founding principal of ERA Architects. His work has focused on heritage sites and urban planning for more than 30 years.
My name is Michael McClelland. I'm a principal of ERA Architects, and our firm is about 100 people or so. We work with heritage and cultural projects. So historic buildings, older places, public space, all those pieces. And we're interested in really building a great city for Toronto.
He says making areas inclusive is based on policy, and at times issues like addressing mental health and affordable housing get overlooked when it comes to designs for public spaces.
Well, I think inclusivity is heavily based on policy. In other words, it's not the after effects of making park benches that people can't sleep on. It's really, and the goal for designers is to look further and to look at policy. So I think that there are major policy decisions which are well-intended, but in fact have a negative effect on people. So for example, I could suggest that the Parks Department is a great institution, and they have as their mandate creating great parks, but they don't have as their mandate treating people in terms of social service issues or housing issues. And in fact, those are not part of the Parks Department's mandate. So that's where we have a fundamental problem, where the Parks Department says, well, our mandate is to deliver great parks for everybody. And unfortunately, there are housing issues and there are issues to do with harm reduction and other things like that. We have no mandate to deal with that. So that gets handed over directly to the police department. And I think that that's where we have a fundamental problem, because there are other agencies of the city that do have housing and social service issues like harm reduction as part of their mandate. And we need to have the city look at this broadly and sort of say, are we doing the right thing with the right people? So are we staffing this up properly? We are still a bit silo bound by our different city departments that aren't sort of seeing this broader picture. And that's where we're well-intended. We mean the best, but in fact, it comes up with dire consequences, I think.
Further, gentrification is another issue that designers need to consider as well, according to McLennan.
Well, gentrification is a really large issue. It's something that I think designers tend to create too narrow a box for themselves, where they think, I'm designing this building, how does it fit on the street, and that's all I'm doing. They're not thinking about, should I be designing a building that accommodates a greater number of people, or intergenerational families, or does it have the opportunity to have a backyard unit? There needs to be a broader thinking of people, architects connecting themselves to broader policies and broader city objectives, rather than just, it's a project, I could do the project, the clients hired me to do this project, which removes the architect from any responsibility to make improvements.
In his own work, he helped develop a project that helped to revitalize old apartments and make housing more affordable for immigrant communities in the city.
Well, ages ago in our office, we developed a project called Tower Renewal, which I think has had a profound effect on the city in dealing with older apartment towers and making improvements to them. And that really developed as a thesis, a university project thesis. And it's now led to major ambitions for revitalization of older apartment towers, which has to do with many of our rental units. It has to do with issues of poverty. It has to do with issues of racism related to the immigrant community that lives in those houses, those apartment houses. And I think that's an example of architects broadening their scope an architect's thinking of design is more than simply, because frankly, a lot of architectural design is simply flashy houses that no one could ever afford to live in. I don't like to look at an architecture magazine. It's like, wow, there's another $3 million house. Like, it's great. It's interesting. It's beautiful design. But how does it address current urban issues?
McLennan says hostile design and inclusive public spaces were not considered as much in previous decades, but that had to change. Designers have many more responsibilities today beyond the projects themselves, he says.
Well, there's different, you can rely on different precedents and different sets of ideas. And no, I don't think it's something that's been really prevalent in previous decades. But if you look at the work of the park designer, Frederick Law Olmsted, Olmsted was creating public parks for everybody. And he felt that that was a really important component, that you could come from any walk of life and you should be able to appreciate his parks. And so you can rely on certain people to give you historical precedent, but generally not. And I think the bigger issues we have to deal right now are inclusivity, are the issues of gentrification and how the divide is happening throughout the city between rich and poor. And I think also, of course there's climate change. You know, there are so many major changes happening that architects really have to step up and think broader about what their overall goals are, their overall ambitions. And many people call it city building rather than architecture. And that's what we need to be thinking about. And it needs to be, have that level of inclusivity, but also have all of these other markers included with each and every design.
He comments on the recent events of homeless encampments forcibly removed by the city in Trinity Bellwoods, and how it is one example of mishandling a public space.
Well, I think again, Trinity Bellwoods was a tactical mistake on the city's part. I think they really needed to address the issue of homeless people living in the park. But there, as I said before, it's an issue of policy, and the Parks Department's not equipped to handle that issue. But I think we have housing advocates, we have mental health advocates, we have people dealing with drug issues and things like that, that there are many ways to help people out. And you should be looking at the park, people living in parks as people who need help, people who need assistance, people need support, and not, God knows where they went. Where were they taken? Where did they go? How are they looked after? And I don't think the police are the right way to do that. It does mean that it's not a simple issue. Like if anybody said they've got a simple answer, I don't know what that would be. But I think, and for example, the mowing down of the community garden afterwards was a really bad example.
Solutions to controversies like Trinity Bellwoods is multi-layered, he says, and will need coordination between designers, the city, and organizations that are better equipped to help the homeless and addressing housing.
I think to solve these really complex problems, it's a multi-layered kind of approach of very different things that need to be brought to play, and there's no simple answers. I think things like, grates on, like stopping people from sleeping on grates is like, that's as a minor symptom of an overall problem. We need to provide good housing for people is a starter, which means we need to really up the ante on building good housing. Does our official plan accommodate the potential for that happening? No, it doesn't really.
Moving forward, he says the city will always need more designers that can be part of the policymaking process and help create more inclusive urban planning.
Well, I think designers need to stretch their wings. I think designers need to think more thoroughly. I think there are a lot of really talented architects in the city who are proposing some housing solutions. I try to think on a policy level to figure out how are there policy moves that can be made. And there's so much work to do that there's an abundance of need for talented architects to make proposals, to make suggestions, to implement some change, but it's not an easy thing. And frankly, it's an uphill battle until planning allows some space for architects to design other than they're doing at the moment.
That was part one of Hostile Designs and Inclusive Public Spaces in Toronto. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.